NBC's Megan McGrath is at the Pentagon this morning.
A remembrance ceremony will be held, not open to the general public. It will strictly be limited to family members. Now, the victim's memorial is also closed to the general public this morning to allow family members to reflect in the calm and quiet.
Vice President Biden will be in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was there yesterday.
To extend our nation's deepest gratitude to the heroes of Flight 93.
This is NBC News Radio. On this, the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, a debate over the cost of a memorial and museum at Ground Zero. More now from NBC's Scott Walterman.
The debate renewed over balancing the need to honor the memory of September 11th with the enormous cost of running a memorial and museum at Ground Zero, as officials faced question over the project's expected $60 million a year operating budget. On top of the $700 million construction cost, a report noted that $12 million a year would be spent on security alone. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
Today will also be a day without explicit partisan rancor. Both President Obama and Mitt Romney plan to take down their negative ads in honor of the 9/11 anniversary. Romney will be speaking at the National Guard Association in Reno, Nevada. And Al-Qaeda confirmed today that one of Osama bin Laden's top lieutenants was killed by a drone strike. Abu Yahya al-Libi was killed earlier this year. I'm Mara Scavalcampo, NBC News Radio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas
can go this far.
While a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate
can go a little farther.
When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Go a little farther.
With Election Day getting closer and the Fed meeting this week, the job market remains on just about everybody's front burner these days. The staffing firm Manpower says the job outlook in the U.S. is holding steady, suggesting the recent pace of slow but steady job growth may continue in coming months. Still, Manpower says the current three-year-old job recovery has been slower than in the past, and while all 13 job categories are positive, only one, education and health services, has a stronger hiring outlook than it did during the summer. Discounted ebooks are back on Amazon. Just days after a judge approved the settlement between the Department of Justice and three publishers, the leading U.S. bookseller has begun to discount HarperCollins e-book titles. HarperCollins titles now also appearing in the Kindle Owner's Lending Library. Stock futures suggesting possible early gains for Wall Street as the market waits for the latest on small business conditions around the country. S&P futures higher by 2.5 points, NASDAQ ahead by 3, Dow gaining 27. I'm Steve Potisk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safelite, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safelite has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safelite, or call 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelite.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common. IBM System X, x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
It's time to get more from your employee benefits. That's why it's time for United Healthcare. You want quality coverage at the right price. We can help with a broad set of products, including dental, vision, disability, accident, life, and critical illness plans. And when you add medical coverage, you may save time with easier administration. Call your broker today or visit uhc.com. Medical, dental, vision, accident, and critical illness coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates. Critical illness and accident may not be available in all states. Life and disability products provided by United Healthcare Insurance Company, Unum America Life Insurance Company, and Unum America Life Insurance Company of New York. Administrative services provided by United Healthcare Services and its affiliates.
Not long ago, I went to Wells Fargo to talk about ways they could help with my business's cash flow.
It often takes 3 days or more for merchants to get paid from any credit or debit card transactions.
Exactly.
Well, we could set you up with a merchant services account where you could get paid as soon as the next business day for most transactions.
That was a conversation worth having, and the $100 reward for opening a new merchant services account made me feel even better.
Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. See banker for offer details. Wells Fargo Bank.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 11th day of September 2012, 6 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. I want to welcome all of you back. Thank you for punching in on this early morning First Shift program. Of course, today is September 11th, the 11th anniversary of that fateful day that not only changed the country, but changed the world. We will certainly talk about that as we work our way through our four-hour program today. And as we'll get to the guest list in a little bit, you'll understand why. I have, of course, my own reflections of that day, as do all of you. In fact, I have built in some open line time a little bit later on so we can talk about September 11th, 2001, and perhaps some of you would like to share a story or two. We'll certainly get to that as we work our way through the program today. What do we have coming up today? Well, you have heard the story of the lesbian couple that wants to adopt each other's children so that they can make sure they can properly care for them, both medically and emotionally. Unfortunately, the courts didn't see it that way. They challenged this couple to challenge the constitutional ban in the state of Michigan on same-sex marriage. Well, attorney Dana Nessel will join us in the 7 o'clock hour to tell us why she is doing just that and how you can help. Progress Michigan begins a weekly series with us, and Zach Pohl, the executive director of Progress Michigan, will be our guest just after 8 o'clock. Colonel Sager Clayton will join us. He is a national security expert. He is now Air Force retired with an amazing list of credentials, and I think you're going to enjoy that discussion. The question we will put to him is, are we safer today than we were 11 years ago? Our ongoing series with the Sugar Law Center also continues today in the 9 o'clock hour as attorney Tony Paris will join us. And Tony has an interesting story to tell over unemployment benefits versus the state of Michigan. I think you're going to be not shocked, but disappointed by what the state is now doing. And, of course, plenty of time for open lines as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this is First Shift, and it's time we get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, our first word today must be remembrance. And unfortunately for a family in Bloomfield, in West Bloomfield, the Patrick O'Rourke family, he is the officer that was shot and killed yesterday by a gunman who was very troubled in his own life. Unfortunately, they will remember September 10th in an unfortunate way. We, of course, remember September 11th in lots of different ways. As I said just a few minutes ago, we all have our own story, we all have our own recollection, and certainly we have all been changed. And we'll remember things like the Patriot Act and other really kind of crazy things that happened as a result on the quote-unquote war on terror. Now listen, I'm all for national security, And I'm all for keeping us all as safe as possible. But the question is still out there, and it has never been successfully answered. Did we go too far? Well, perhaps I remember things differently than you. Maybe you remember them differently than me. But we'll, again, talk about that a little later on in the show. But we do need to. We need to stop and remember the over 3,000 Americans that were killed on that fateful day, the over 6,500 soldiers that died in the quote-unquote war on terror, and the over 15,000 that have been wounded. Yes, plenty of people have lots to remember, and we need to remember why this all happened, how it all started, and perhaps what we've done wrong. This is not always an easy conversation to have. You know what? The most important conversations rarely are easy to have, but we do need to remember. We need to remember fondly what this country stands for, what we fight for, and what we believe in. And again, we don't all believe in the same thing, do we? No, we don't. Anyway, remembrance is today's first word. And a quick announcement. Jeff is no longer with the program. We're going to meet our new producer a little bit later on in this hour. But I am not foregoing sports for that reason alone. So I welcome, and joining us now is Anthony to talk a little disappointment, at least for the local ball club last night. Good morning, eh?
Oh, good morning to you.
Okay, 6-1 last night. An error causes the White Sox to pounce all over the Tigers. The Tigers, who had a horrible weekend, actually needed to win this game yesterday. Doesn't help them at all.
No, I mean, that puts us 3 back now. So even if we win the rest of the series, we're even. I mean, which I guess is the goal coming out of this, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll take even over down 3 or down 2 or even down 1. But they're not playing good baseball, and they haven't since they swept the White Sox.
I mean, it seems like the only time the offense shows up is when they do win that one game, the one time a week. It seems like it's been like that lately.
Well, unfortunately, that is true, and I don't know what they do to turn it around. There was a doubleheader in Monday Night Football last night as well. Cincinnati was at Baltimore, and Anthony, I didn't watch any of the game, but looking at the score, it doesn't look like it was much of a game.
Yeah, Cincinnati fell behind early, and Baltimore just kept pouring it on. I mean, running the ball, passing the ball. Ed Reed had a pick six. I mean, they just looked bad.
Now, the final score of that game was 44-13, Baltimore. And quickly looking at the standings, Baltimore is the only one, I realize it's early in the season, is the only one in their division that has now won a game in week one. So, they have a solid team. I don't know if, and you would probably know this better than I, are they picked to go far into the playoffs this year?
They are some people's Super Bowl choices. That's just some people, though. I don't know.
All right, well, the other game happened out west in the West Coast. San Diego was at Oakland, and, well, the result looks like it was maybe a little sloppy. 22-14, the Chargers winning over the Raiders. Raiders were expecting, I think, a much better start to the season than they got out of their club last night.
Yeah, San Diego's not a bad team, though. I mean, that was a toss-up. I mean, they're both good teams, same division. I believe they both went 8-8 last year, so, you know, it was a close game.
All right. Well, that's basically what's going on in sports. Anthony, as we talked about the Lions yesterday, I forgot to mention, as you and I watched the game together, the dominating play of Ndamukong Suh on Sunday, and there was an article in today's Free Press that says, Ndamukong Suh playing like a rookie, and that's a good thing. He was on fire Sunday.
And not just him. I mean, the whole D-line showed up Sunday. I mean, this is what people thought they were going to be last year, and it looks like with the whole offseason with them, they look great out there.
It's exciting. You know, I guess I didn't realize, because I didn't pay a lot of attention to the preseason, that Kyle VandenBosch sat out the entire preseason. So he is well-rested. Of course, he's not one of those players, Anthony, that needs a preseason. In fact, I believe last year they let him, they forced him to come in late. They wanted him to rest as long as possible. So not being involved in the preseason this year obviously didn't hurt him, because he was on his game on Sunday.
Right. I mean, he's like just that type of guy, a blue collar worker. And I believe he gets those Tuesdays off too. I think I remember.
Yes, he does get the first day of practice off every week. Not that he wants it. In fact, as I think you know, he still comes in and lifts weights. They told him initially he was banned from the locker room. You gonna stop him? I don't think I'm going to.
Those red eyes, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I just get the biggest kick out of that. He puts in those red contact lenses on game day. And does he really? I mean, do you really think that people are intimidated by that, or is this part of his game prep, you think?
Maybe some people. Aaron Rodgers wasn't, though.
Yeah, that definitely was not. In fact, he made fun of it. So anyway, Green Bay looked awful on Sunday. What the heck is that all about?
First game rust, I don't know. I know they're better than they were on Sunday, so let's not think they're going to be easy now.
No. I'm certainly not going there. And, you know, we're in a really tough division. The idea that the Lions are automatically in the playoffs this year is a silly idea. In fact, all of the national pundits are picking them not to return to the playoffs this year. I don't buy that. I certainly think that they will be playoff contenders, no question about that. But I just think it's kind of odd that all of the pundits, all of the major pundits anyway, say that at best they're an 8-8 team this year. Although the way they played the first three quarters of Sunday's game, maybe they're right.
Yeah, I guess you can't argue. But they like Chicago for some reason. I'm not sold on Chicago.
In fact, some are even predicting Chicago to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I don't get that at all either. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for joining me on this. And anyway, we're going to take a quick break. That's it for our sports segment today. We're going to take a quick break. I want to remind you that we're always open lines in this first hour. If you care to join us, if something's on your mind, you've got a question, a comment, a concern, the toll-free number, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTruppiano. When we return, we'll meet the new producer of First Shift, Joe. And we got a lot to get to today, so stay right where you're at on this September 11th, 11 years later. We'll be back right after this break.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Mitt Romney's released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your early morning commute, they have cleared that accident on Shaner in both directions at 12 Mile Road, so you got smooth sailing through that stretch. Road construction has reduced down to two lanes on 94 eastbound between Telegraph and Outer Drive. And coming up at 9 a.m., your right lane is going to be closed on the service drive of 696 westbound at Van Dyke. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thank you for punching in bright and early with us. As I said just a few minutes ago, First Shift has a new producer. His name is Joe Kasak, and Joe joins me on air this morning. Good morning. We had a nice day yesterday. It was really nice just to spend some actually fairly relaxing time with you. How you doing this morning?
Oh, great. Thanks, Tony. It was, you know, a good time yesterday. It'll be an even better time now, and I'm looking forward to the future and helping everybody out there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your background, because you actually do have a very interesting background. You come from a union family. You're definitely a liberal. Politics, one of your loves. You and I friended each other on Facebook yesterday, so I spent a little time on your website, and you were so excited. Nah, it's all right. You did okay. But you said you were excited. You actually had a job in politics. I mean, you know, so talk a little bit about yourself. Don't be afraid to do that.
Ever since high school, I just got interested in it. I don't know. I was one of the people who kind of was off and reading all the time and interested in interpersonal relationships, inter-everything relationships, and how everything's connected. And that's really the nature of politics, is how it all gets connected. And ever since, I kind of had a lot of people like, you know, you're not a politician, so you should get involved in politics. And I've been kind of trying to do that for 10 years or so, chasing the dream. I've worked all kinds of different blue-collar jobs, knock-down, drag-out bosses that, you know, dehumanize you and everything. So, I mean, I understand the plight of the working class quite well, and I'd like to try to do something not just for myself but as many people as possible.
You know, Joe, in a lot of ways you are the for your generation a fairly typical story. You excelled in college but couldn't afford to go back. You had told me the first time we talked you just didn't want to put yourself in that kind of debt. You could have done that, but you just didn't want to do that. So in a lot of ways, you are the American story as far as your generation goes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's sad that it is this many people, because really when you're in that position knocked down like that, you feel like, you know, hopefully this isn't everybody. I mean, you don't think of it that way, but you get to that point. But yeah, when it's the typical story, you just got to realize, man, everybody wants about the same things. And if you're coming from the same place, put those heads together and come up with some ideas.
Well, you didn't give up. You did end up going to Specs Howard School of Broadcast and Media Arts. I got it right. That's the name of it now.
It's Media Arts now. It was Broadcast. They'll change it tomorrow, maybe.
Okay. Anyway, you did go out and further your education. I mean, it's not like you quit. I know you're pretty happy to find a job in a major market. In fact, you told me yesterday, they told you, hey, don't expect to find a job in a major market, which is true. I mean, there's a lot of reality to that. We were just lucky enough to find each other.
Yes, definitely. I mean, they give you very realistic expectations of what, you know, to expect. They tell you this is a crash course, and when you get out of here, your training continues with your first job. Don't expect to get this, don't expect to get that, and don't. But you can expect it, but you have to aim for it, and so I did.
And here you are. Here you are so many months later. You know, interestingly, our politics line up fairly perfectly. Well, they do. I mean, you're truly a liberal Democrat. There's no question about it. I don't think that you've uttered a word that I haven't agreed with. In a little bit of time that we've spent together, you've been listening to the show, so you know what we're covering. I know you're very much a pro-union guy.
Oh, definitely.
And so obviously that matters a great deal. And I've never made a secret of the fact that organized labor funds this radio program, and I'm very proud of that. Some people think I should be ashamed of that. Some even say I'm beholden to labor. Well, I am beholden to labor. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be making a living without them. So, of course, I'm beholden to them. But they don't tell me, as you saw yesterday. You didn't see anybody calling me from organized labor saying you need to talk about this or you need to talk about that. They understand that I'm here to deliver a progressive message, not a union message.
Exactly. I was surprised when I pulled up to your house there weren't a bunch of Teamsters just lounging around chilling.
Not that I would mind that. Teamsters are a lot of fun to lounge around and chill with, I assure you. I was up at one of their conferences about a month ago, and yeah, they're a lot of fun to lounge around and chill with. Well, as the show grows, and part of the reason that you're here is we are in a growth mode. We're on a transition. There's some stuff that I'll be sharing with the audience soon enough that I haven't really sat down and talked to you about yet, so I'm not going to do that on air. But, you know, we are moving in a different direction. I think that as we go through the next 56 days now, it's 56 days to Election Day, you and I understand what our task is, and we need to make sure that we're educating, we're getting the message out there, people understand not just what's happening nationally, but on the local and the statewide level. The state legislature goes back to work full time next week. They are lame duck at this point. All they're going to do is destruction. And we already know that because the Republicans control everything. We have been candidate heavy for the last couple weeks. Now, last week, of course, we were at the convention, but before that, and we'll continue to do a lot of candidates on the show because we want to elect Democrats.
Definitely. I mean, one of the most dangerous things to the political process is an educated voter, and we love educated voters.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And you'll hear me, and I know you've heard me on the show, get angry with people, especially conservatives, that call with their Fox noise facts, which absolutely drive me nuts. But listen, Democrats aren't always right, and I'm the first one to admit that. I'll call the president out when I feel I need to, or if there's a Democrat in the legislature that I need to call out. I don't have a problem doing that. But philosophically, ideologically, you know, they're going to be a whole lot closer to the way I want to see my country, the country I want not only my children, but my grandson to grow up in. Democrats make more sense than Republicans do, and it's just fascinating. In fact, you'd sent me a story yesterday, an AP story yesterday about race, talk a little bit about that later on. But it just amazed me, and I've talked about this a lot on the show. We've got President Obama, who has accomplished more in 3.5 years than Bush did in 8.
Definitely.
He has shifted the employment numbers from minus 4 million to plus 4.5 million. So that's a swing of 8.5 million jobs. Any way you want to do it, the math still works. I told the audience the other day, Google Obama accomplishments, and you're going to find literally thousands of links to what he's accomplished. Truly one of the best presidents this country has ever known. And yet, white men, and we already know this by the polls, white men don't back President Obama. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it one more time. It's because of the color of his skin.
I definitely feel that way. It's disgraceful. It's shameful. This is the president of the United States elected by the people. And the moment he got in, everybody just, like, there was the initial Obama hangover, they call it, negatively, if you will. And after that, they just all went back to hating everything because change didn't happen overnight, or it just doesn't make sense to me. Really, well, yeah. I mean, other than the racist argument, it's just like, oh man, who let that guy run the show? It's like you did. You voted for him.
Yeah. Well, right, and it is shameful that that has happened. Of course, we've overlived Mitch McConnell's. Our number one goal is to get rid of him before he'd even taken office. And well, they've at least, I'll say this, they're consistent. They've stayed true to that. Joe Kasich, thank you. We'll bring it back a little bit later on, but it's time for a break, and we're going to take one here. Feel free to join us. Something on your mind when we come back. We're going to talk about the Chicago's teacher strike and the reaction to that. But our number, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Butterball.
Checking your traffic on 75 southbound at 94. You got a disabled vehicle that's blocking your left lane there. On 94 eastbound between Telegraph and Outer Drive, road construction have you reduced down to two lanes. And at 9 a.m., 696 Service Drive westbound at Van Dyke, your right lane is going to be closed. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Now you can enjoy sub sandwiches that are both delicious and healthy with sub starter sandwich kits from Butterball. Like the classic Italian with lean turkey salami, turkey pepperoni, and savory turkey breast. Find delicious sub starters in your grocer's refrigerated meat case.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. More than 26,000 Chicago teachers went on strike Monday, their first strike in 25 years. Jesse Russell reports from Chicago on day one on the picket lines.
More than 5,000 teachers and their supporters took over nearly six blocks in the downtown area of Chicago surrounding City Hall on Monday. Questions around the legality of the strike remained due to a new law Mayor Rahm Emanuel says prohibits teachers from striking for anything other than compensation. While a pay raise is often cited in the media as the reason for the strike, it was clear in my discussions on the ground that it was not the primary issue of concern. First and foremost was having the resources to adequately address the needs of the students. Those needs range from air conditioning, where the 100 Chicago schools open without active air conditioning, and staffing. A need for more social workers was often cited, especially in areas of the city that have been hard hit by violence this year. As of September 9th, there had been 384 homicides in the city, putting violence in the city on a trajectory to surpass the number of homicides in 2011 by the end of the year. Helping students recover from tragedy in their neighborhoods or at home is the job of a social worker, who has more privileges than teachers to pry into the personal lives of a child who may not be responding well in the classroom.
American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten says no one wants to strike and no one strikes without cause. In a statement supporting the striking Chicago teachers, Weingarten said AFT members nationwide stand with the Chicago Teachers Union, which was the very first founding local of the national AFT. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel stripped teachers of a negotiated 4% raise that was already in a contract negotiated before Emanuel took office. Emanuel then offered the teachers 2% instead if they worked 90 minutes longer each day. This strike comes only after long and intense negotiations failed to reach an agreement. The first Chicago teacher strike in a quarter century is getting support from other unions. John Fitzgerald is with the Illinois Nurses Association.
I live in Chicago. You know, I'm a taxpayer in Chicago. I'm a citizen of Chicago. And we need good schools. They need to stop privatizing the schools. Teachers are one of the backbones of the city and our society. They need respect and fair contract.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the IBEW.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning program, and for the first time in 25 years, and although it would be illegal here in the state of Michigan, Chicago teachers are not in the state of Michigan. They are in the state of Illinois, and for the first time in 25 years, they are walking the picket lines over a contract dispute. Although they came very close to a deal this weekend, they are too far apart, and therefore the teachers are doing the proactive and right thing and walking the picket line. Now, we had reached out to the Chicago's Teachers Union yesterday, and we did talk to them, and we hope to have perhaps somebody on tomorrow from the Chicago Teachers Union, as we would like to cover that story. It's an important story. Now, y'all know that I am a huge advocate of public education and fairness, and as we know here in the state of Michigan, the legislature has been anything but fair to our public school teachers and basically treat them like common trash. But we're not going to let them get away with that, certainly not here and certainly not in the city of Chicago. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the former chief of staff to President Barack Obama, unfortunately is acting like a union buster, and I don't like the way he's acting at all, but that's okay. He wanted to pick the fight. The teachers are happy to do it, and they have every right to do it. Listen, there isn't a teacher walking a picket line right now in the city of Chicago that wouldn't rather be in the classroom with their students. Anybody that knows a teacher knows they love to teach. They would rather be teaching, and they want to teach. So be fair to them. That's all they're asking for, is a little fairness. And unfortunately for them, Rahm Emanuel and his quote-unquote negotiating staff, well, they saw it a different way. Let's go to a little audio on the Chicago's teacher strike.
What do we want?
For the first time in 25 years, Chicago teachers are officially on strike. Almost 30,000 teachers and staff walked out, leaving nearly 400,000 school children shut out of their classrooms.
We suffer through poverty, we suffer through gang violence, everything. Our kids have to be out of school. That's the only safe haven they really have right now.
Charter schools remain open, and the school district opened 144 of its schools for part of the day to provide food and supervision for kids in need. The teachers union says the sticking points are health benefits and a new system for evaluating teachers.
The evaluation system can be very biased. It can be very biased to older teachers. It can be very biased to inexperienced teachers.
The union says as many as 6,000 teachers could lose their jobs due to the new evaluations. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel says the system was designed by teachers.
I'm more optimistic that the teachers will pass. I have a bigger confidence in the quality of our teachers than they do.
The school district is offering raises of 16% over 4 years and says it has no more money to offer. This parent sides with the teachers.
These teachers is working their butts off. It's 50, 60 students to one teacher. How can you teach a class if it's 50, 60 students to one teacher?
For now, it's zero kids in the classroom until both sides come to an agreement. I'm Stacey Cohan reporting.
All right. Well, you know, the reality of this strike, if you listen, well, it's really not about money. It is about the way they're evaluating teachers. And not unlike what they've done here in the state of Michigan, where they changed the tenure laws, making it incredibly unfair to experienced teachers. And as we heard last week, there was a teacher with 39 years experience in the Detroit Public Schools let go because, well, tenure just doesn't matter anymore, and it should. Listen, tenure is just a democratic process. It is a judicial process. It is not a guarantee of anything except a guarantee to make sure you're represented fairly if you are brought up on charges. I don't know the exact evaluation system they are proposing in Chicago, but I promise to find out and report back to you. And again, we're hoping that on tomorrow's show, we'll have somebody from the Chicago Teachers Union so that we can show our support and solidarity for the Chicago teachers. So you ask yourself the question, what does Mitt Romney think of the teacher strike? Well, sadly, Mitt Romney doesn't think much of it. He said the teachers should go back to work. He is, of course, anti-union. He is pro-right to work. All that other stuff that, of course, us Democrats just can't stomach. That's all right. I think that Mitt Romney just cost himself a whole lot of votes. There are a lot of teachers out there, or former teachers out there, that will remember that when it came time to support hardworking Americans, and these are all middle-class folks, ladies and gentlemen, Mitt Romney once again turned his back on them. So be it. So be it. So for those of you in the state of Michigan that teach, we, as always, want to thank you for your dedication to our children. We know that you are handcuffed by state law that denies you the right to strike. And, you know, listen, there has been some talk that if the Detroit teachers don't get a little concessions from the Detroit Public Schools Board and Roy Roberts, that they may strike, even though it's illegal. Sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. It's about fairness. And I know what the conservatives say. Well, if you don't like it, go teach somewhere else. It doesn't work that way, and you all know it. So stop playing that game with me, of all people. Is there something you wanted to say, Joe?
Actually, my cousin went to Michigan Tech, and, I mean, he's brilliant. Like, that was all he did, was put his effort into schoolwork, and he went for chemical engineering, finished at the top of his class over a 4.0. I don't even know how you do that. People do it all the time, apparently. But he's teaching in, like, the middle of nowhere somewhere in this state, the middle of the mitten, like, out by Washington Township.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. That's where my other cousin is. They're both teaching for, like, minimum wage.
You know, it's interesting. I was at I spoke at a teachers union meeting some months back, and there was a brand new teacher in the audience. He was a master degree because they've changed the formula for funding their health care. He had to pay extra there. Anyway, to make a long story short, after what he gets paid, they deduct everything they deduct from his paycheck. His take-home pay for the year was $22,000. $22,000 for a master degree teacher. Can you imagine?
Yeah, because that's what my cousin makes.
It's just, it's insane. You can't, I mean, people can't live on, you know, you can't pay off your student loans making $22,000 a year. You can barely afford a cheap apartment making $22,000 a year.
And they have children. They're just starting their families. You know, they just finished college. They married their college sweethearts, both cousins, one's male, one female, both the same family. And they both just had kids almost in tandem with each other, like just a couple months apart.
You gotta wonder what's happened, or what, how do you define the American dream anymore? I don't even know what the American dream is anymore.
I used to be concrete. You used to be able to get it, a fair day's pay for a fair day's work, and now I think that is becoming a dream.
You know, and certainly a common theme that we've discussed on this program before, and we will many times moving forward. You know, I think the majority of people, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be wealthy, by the way. I have no problem with capitalism. I have no problem with amassing great wealth. I have no problem with people taking risk and being rewarded for it. I have no problem with that. But I think the majority of people just want to know that they're going to be able to take care of their families. They're going to be able to put a roof over their head. They're going to be able to buy groceries. And if they need medical care, that'll be provided to them. I think that's all that most people really want. I mean, if those basic necessities are taken care of, we can throw in to be able to save a little something so that when you get to retirement, you can live comfortably once you stop working. I think most people would be happy with that. I don't think we're all looking for that Mitt Romney kind of wealth.
Oh, absolutely not. I wouldn't even know what to do with that much money. I'd give it to charity.
Well, that would make you a Democrat, I guess.
Oh, oops. There I go again.
There I go again
with that liberalism.
I tell you. Anyway, Chicago's teacher strike continues, and we will certainly be following that. And, you know, it gives us an opportunity. Unfortunately, it gives us an opportunity to focus on basic fairness issues in the workplace. And this is why when we talk about Proposal 2, which is the Collective Bargaining Agreement Constitutional Amendment, why we have to be supportive of that. We'll get the audio and play it tomorrow, but they just put out a new ad where they talk about some of the myths. It's a 30-second ad. It's amazing what you can get in 30 seconds. But they talk about some of the myths surrounding Proposal 2. There are those are saying, well, you know, it'll cost you money. You need to, then you'll need to join a union. Both of those, of course, are false. It wouldn't cost you a penny if Proposal 2 passes. You don't have to join a union. That's the whole point of Proposal 2, is to make sure that no matter what you do, no matter where you work, no matter if you're union or non-union, that you have the right to collective bargaining in the workplace. It doesn't guarantee you the right. It guarantees the right to happen. Do you understand the difference between the two? And this is an example of what's happening in Chicago when collective bargaining doesn't work. And this isn't the teachers have given and given and given. That's the thing that we have to remember. You can't just take a look at the current situation and say, well, they've offered them a 16% raise over 3 years. My God, that's a lot of money. You don't know what they've given up in the last 5 years. You know, so don't judge what you think you know. Do a little homework so that you truly understand what is happening and why it is so important that they went on strike. It's very, very critical. Okay, when we come back, we got a couple more stories we want to cover. Certainly, we're going to talk about the Patrick O'Rourke, the police officer that was gunned down in West Bloomfield yesterday. What a tragic, tragic story that is. And Congress is resuming work. Well, if you want to call it work, we don't know what they do when they show up anymore. Kind of like the state legislature. We're always better when they're not in session. And that would be true at the national level as well. 888-552-3595. A quick break here on First Shift. We'll continue right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us.
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW. With Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 11th day of September 2012. I want to remind you, in the next hour, we will be talking about September 11th, 2001, and some reflections 11 years later. But let's go to the phones and welcome my friend Bamani to the show. How are you, brother? What's going on?
How you doing? Thanks for the birthday greeting.
You bet. I saw that pop up, and I thought, well, I'll just wish him a quick happy birthday. So, happy birthday.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I was listening to one of the, I guess, the head of the teachers unions on one of the other shows yesterday, you know, and they do appear to have a lot of really serious issues. It does appear to be union busting, and I kind of wonder about Rahm Emanuel at times. Actually, I'm not sure if I really trust Rahm Emanuel.
Well, yeah, but Bamani, he's not one of my favorite Democrats. In fact, he was the head of what's called the Blue Dog Democrats in Congress, which are the most conservative Democratic members of Congress. And when I ran for Congress, when I ran for Congress.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, the Blue Dog Democrats. You can look it up. When I ran for Congress in 2006, Rahm Emanuel was in charge of recruiting candidates to run for Congress. And I had to go to Chicago and meet with him, and it was one of the most unpleasant conversations I've ever had in my life. I have no use for the guy.
Oh, wow. And, some people I know from Chicago are not really sure. they almost think that he's like Dave Bing. But
no, I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
Yeah, but they had somebody on from the union, and they had Artie Duncan here. From what I hear, some of the teachers here said Artie Duncan was here, or his representative was here in Detroit. You know, and I love Barack Obama, but some of the people that he picks for some of his positions, I'm a little leery about. Arne Duncan is one of those people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. For those that don't know, Arne Duncan is the Secretary of Education, and I assure you the people, especially on the union side of education, are not a fan of Arne Duncan.
Not at all. He basically told the people here that, the school situation or whatever was left up to the states, you know, and that, you know what that whole states' rights move is, you know how negative that is.
Especially here in Michigan.
right. So, I hope the teachers stay out. I hope they hold their ground. I really hope that they get what they need. And maybe they can inspire these teachers here, because there still continues to be a whole lot of shady stuff going on here with Detroit Public Schools and Roy Roberts. I should have said Roy Rogers and his horse Trigger. But these people, something has got to be done about them, and maybe that'll inspire the teachers here. There's a small group of teachers trying to do some stuff here, but I don't think, unfortunately, it's not most of them. I wish they would all get a, like the Val Patrick, I think they all need to get a backbone.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but most of them need to get a backbone here and really stand up for what they're trying to do. I mean, because they pretty much devastate the whole system. There's never no hope, but they sure are allowing it to get to the point where it might not even be able to be resuscitated.
Yeah, you're right. You know? Bamani, as always, I appreciate the phone call, and again, happy birthday to you. It's great to talk to you this morning.
Thank you.
You bet, brother. Thanks for the call once again. Well, let's quickly certainly want to talk, before we get out of here this hour, want to talk about Officer Patrick O'Rourke from West Bloomfield, who was gunned down yesterday. He responded to a call which he thought was an attempted suicide. It turned into be deadly for him. Let's listen to this report from WDIV. No audio, guys? All right. Well, let me know when you're ready to crank up that audio so that we can share that. All right. Just let me know if you get it. For those of you that are aware of the story, you know that the gunman inside the house did finally take his life last night. It was a very long day for the West Bloomfield police. Obviously, families on both sides. Both sides of this issue are devastated. Officer O'Rourke was the father of four, was still quite young, ladies and gentlemen. It is just tragic. We talked about it briefly towards the end of the show yesterday as it was unfolding throughout the morning. In fact, it ended up being part of our traffic report because they had blocked off that area, the roads in that area, so that they could, of course, keep others safe. We'll of course, as the day unfolds, learn more and more about this tragic, tragic story. Let me just make an appeal. If there's anybody in this audience right now that finds themselves in a difficult situation, that it's understanding, I understand that he was a businessman, he was having a great deal of financial stress, that he was about to be divorced. If this sounds familiar, it happens a lot. The way out is obviously not death by cop, suicide by cop. That's not the way to do this. Get help. There's always help available, even when things seem to be at their lowest, even when you think there is no hope, when you think that the things are lost, that you're desperate and desolate, lonely, on an island. You're not. You never are. Go to a local hospital, talk to a neighbor, talk to a friend, talk to a family member, get help. Don't be ashamed, to get help, you know, and more than in any time, perhaps in the history of this country, we understand each other better than we ever have. I'll remind you of something we talk about in politics all the time, which is the simple idea that we have much more in common than not in common. And that includes trouble. Personal trouble, financial trouble. Even if it's from the outside, it looks like things are fine. It's not always true when you're behind that closed door. You can walk by any house, no matter how big it is or how beautiful it is. That doesn't guarantee that everybody inside that home is happy. And you'd be surprised how many people never reach out for help. And unfortunately, sometimes, as it is for this situation, it's just too late. And nothing can be done but to grieve. Can we learn something from this? Well, I would hope that that's what I was just waxing on about. If you need help, get it. And don't be afraid to get it. A stranger, a friend. There's always somebody that will listen. There's always somebody that's willing to help and always somebody willing to lend a hand. I certainly know what it's like to have financial hardship. I think most of us do. And it is very, very difficult. There's no question that it's hard, especially when you have a family, especially when you want to do well, especially if you've been successful and that success has been taken away from you. But that doesn't mean you need to end it. What it does mean is that you need to find a way out. And folks, I promise there's always a way out. When we continue in the next hour, we'll take a look back at September 11th, 2001. We'll also visit with attorney Dana Nessel. Yep, it's a new day in America. Will Michigan finally recognize that two people that love each other are just two people that love each other? We'll find that out as well. Stay with us. This is First Shift. We take the break for the top of the hour. NBC News is next.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic on 75 southbound at 94. You got a disabled vehicle that's blocking your left lane there. On 94 eastbound between Telegraph and Outer Drive, road construction have you reduced down to two lanes. And at 9 a.m., 696 Service Drive westbound at Van Dyke, your right lane is going to be closed. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work.
including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jensen, remembering those we lost on 9/11. NBC's Danielle Lee at Ground Zero in New York.
While the country isn't forgetting the people lost in the terrorist attacks, much has changed. Unlike last year, politicians have been asked not to speak. Only relatives will read the names of the victims on this 11th anniversary.
Memorials today in New York, at the Pentagon, and at the National Memorial near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. President Obama and Mitt Romney taking a break from political events on the 9/11 anniversary. Wildfires threatening hundreds of homes in Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and Washington State. Dozens of blazes started by lightning storms. If you like hot weather, get used to it. Forecasters say temperatures will be above normal for the next several months, especially east of the Rockies. And Kodak looking to emerge from bankruptcy next year, but it's hardly picture-perfect for employees. The one-time photography giant is cutting more than 3,000 jobs to develop a leaner business plan. This is NBC News Radio. It's the second day out of class for students in Chicago's public schools. Negotiators for striking teachers and the school district coming up empty so far. NBC's Kevin Tibbles.
This strike could have a ripple effect on the Chicago economy. Employment analysts say lost productivity could run into the millions if parents are forced to stay home to look after their kids.
USA Today says the federal tobacco tax hike signed into law in 2009 has spurred a big drop in smoking, especially among teens. 3 million smokers have kicked the habit since then. Trenton, New Jersey Mayor Tony Mack charged with conspiracy in a fake land development deal after getting caught in a federal sting operation. He faces up to 20 years in prison. And this will test your sea legs. Carnival Cruise Lines expanding its $50 a day all-you-can-drink offer to two ships now. Apparently, demand is high. Carnival has been packing them in for unlimited wine and beer and spirits booze cruise. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
It's a fact of modern life. Switching isn't easy. Your bank, your cable company, your girlfriend. Let's just say each switch comes with a certain degree of difficulty. But switching to Geico, now that couldn't be easier. First of all, it only takes 15 minutes. And just like that, you could be saving hundreds on car insurance. No muss, no fuss, no irate, vengeful, significant others.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Just days after a judge approved a settlement, HarperCollins becomes the first publisher to strike a deal with Amazon for it to sell ebooks at a discount. Under the terms of the settlement, the three publishers may not agree to contracts with ebook retailers that restrict those retailers' discretion over ebook pricing. So some current HarperCollins bestsellers, including The Fallen Angel by Daniel Silva and Solo by Hope Solo, are being sold for $9.99 on Amazon's website. OPEC is keeping its forecast for global oil demand growth this year unchanged. Changed at just under a million barrels a day. The group says there is a downside risk from the possibility that the economic slowdown in developed countries will spill over into other nations. For next year, though, OPEC is forecasting 0.8 million barrels a day, which is also unchanged from the prior month. Oil prices right now, they're higher by a nickel, $96.59 a barrel. Stock futures also moving up, S&P gaining 3, NASDAQ futures also ahead by 3 points. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Ryan, technician with SafeLight Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Newman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas
can go this far.
While a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate
can go a little farther.
When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Go a little farther.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 11th, 2012. We're going to dedicate the next half hour to a remembrance of September 11th, 2001. Of course, it's impossible for this day to pass in the minds of most Americans because they clearly remember. It's one of those where were you events in your life, sadly. And I'm certainly going to share my story. I'd like to actually invite you to share some of your stories. So we are going to be open lines this entire half hour. We're also going to have time in the last hour of the show to do this as well, but certainly would love to hear from some of you and what this day means to you. Let me get the number out there first, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. If you'd rather send an email, feel free to do that, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last but certainly not least, you can also tweet at Tony Trupiano is our Twitter account, and we encourage all of you to do that. In fact, if you'd like to post something onto Facebook, just go to Facebook and search for First Shift, and you can post some recollections there as well. In the 8 o'clock hour, about an hour and a half from now, we're going to have a retired Air Force colonel on the show, where we're going to ask him the question, are we safer today than we were 11 years ago? I think that we might have differing opinions on what safer means, but you understand the greater question there. But let's walk back about 11 years ago, a little more than an hour from now. The first of what would be 3 planes created mass havoc in this country and forever changed not only the United States and our history, but it changed the world. Some would say that without September 11th, Saddam Hussein would still be alive, as would Osama bin Laden, and we can debate that for days, but that's not what this half hour is about in any way, shape, or form. That's for another time and another question. But September 11th, 2001 is a day that most, of course, remember because of the tragedy that it is. We actually tried to get some guests on today, as you can imagine. Anybody that's doing interviews on September 11th from a survivor perspective or from a family member perspective, they're all pretty well booked today. And that, of course, we completely understand. But 11 years ago today, I was at that time a nationally syndicated talk show host. I was working overnights. I was working midnight to 5 a.m., and it was a tough shift. The kids were young then. The way that my life worked back then was I would, after the show, stay up until the kids got up, got them fed, got them dressed, got them off to school. And then at about 8:30, I would, 8:40, I would get home. And I would then at that point go to bed, set my alarm clock for about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And, then the day would start all over again. It was maybe not the favorite time in my life. And although I did that for about 4 years, it was a very difficult 4 years. That morning, I had done my normal routine. I had taken the boys to school. I had come home. I had turned off all of the phones except the ringers on the phones, except for the one in my office, which I could barely hear from the bedroom. So that was never really an issue. And I went to bed. For whatever reason, I had trouble falling asleep that morning. And I could vaguely hear in the background the phone ringing over and over and over again, and it just made no sense to me. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just hearing things. So I got up, and as I was going to reach for the phone, it rang again, and it was my wife. And my wife said, do you have a TV on? I said, well, no, I was trying to get some sleep, and I couldn't sleep, and I heard the phone ringing. She says, you need to turn a TV on. So I did. Obviously, you all know what happened after that. It was all there was everywhere. In stunned disbelief, and I can't imagine that we aren't all in stunned disbelief, and many were quite afraid. The first thing I did was call my kids' school, and I asked them how they were going to handle this. And they said that the kids had been told that there was an attack, and so on and so forth, that they were safe, but that I wanted to come collect them, I could. I didn't feel that I needed to do that. I trusted the school. I certainly trusted the teachers, and I felt that they were safe there. I didn't think, folks, that the entire country needed to hide underneath our desks or in the bathroom or wherever you hide in your house, but I certainly was very concerned. As I said, at that time I was nationally syndicated, and the syndicator called me. They had only had a couple true news-type hosts on their network. They did a lot of boutique shows, sports-related shows, automotive shows, etc. And so they did not have many personalities that could do news. I was one of them. I was back on the air about an hour later and spent the entire day on the air. They opened up their entire network, which at that time was over 300 radio stations, obviously, this story. It was all I did for the better part of 12 hours. We knew little to nothing at that point, nothing but speculation. Of course, Osama bin Laden's name came up, as you'll recall, very early in that day, once we realized that it was an attack on the country and not an accident. After the first plane, it was an accident. After the second plane, we knew it was not. After the third plane, we didn't know what was going on, but we knew that the United States was under attack, and indeed, that was true. Of course, the tragedy of September 11th, 2001, in so many ways brought us together, but in many ways, it tore us apart. Didn't tear us apart initially, of course. You'll recall immediately after September 11th for a few days, all channels did nothing but air 24/7 programming on what had happened. Even the kids' channels went dark for a while. Home shopping went dark for a while. It was everywhere. As a parent, my concern, of course, was that my children would be negatively impacted. So I tried to keep them away from the news. At the same time, trying to keep up on the news, which was not an easy task. I had an obligation to be informed and empowered with information. It was quite a stressful time. But as we worked our way through that day, one of the things that I clearly remember, and I just think this is heinous, and it just says so much about greed in this country, gas station owners started to raise the price of gas immediately. And people were calling again. I was on 300 and some odd stations all over the country. I was starting to get calls from all over this country. It started in Chicago, then I got them out of Iowa and other states that gas had gone up, you know, $3, $4 a gallon, which of course was price gouging and was based in fear. People were panicking that you needed to go fill up your cars before gas got to $8 or $9 a gallon. And for all we know, that could have happened. And those of you that recall back then, the state of Michigan prosecuted many, many gas station operators for price gouging on that day. Was it done out of fear? Was it done out of greed? Well, I imagine it was done out of both and maybe other reasons as well. But it profoundly changed my life, and it profoundly changed my career, because after that, I went from being a general topic radio show host to purely a political talk radio host. Folks, if you think it was easy to be a progressive talk show host back on September 11th, 2001, think again. Even those that considered themselves liberal got quite conservative. You'll remember the big debate over the Patriot Act, which was all a reaction to September 11th, 2001. That polarized the country. President Bush, who was unpopularly selected by the Supreme Court to the presidency, although he may have at the moment handled it well, we now know in retrospect he didn't handle it well. We now know that, Mayor Giuliani made a fool of himself, and in fact, because of him, the first responders in New York City did not only not have the equipment they needed, their command center was literally placed inside the World Trade Towers when he was told that that would be the worst possible place to put them, to put it, because there had already been a terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. But he didn't listen. He had people in his back pocket that he needed to take care of, and he needed to pay them back, and so that was his way of doing it. You don't believe me? Go check it out. It happens to be the truth. So, my life changes radically after that, as I think many of our lives did. My career changed, I think, for the better, ultimately. But it is a sad and tragic day in our history, and we will always remember it. Some say that we need to get over it. We need to move on. It should not be something that we talk about year after year after year. Others, of course, feel quite differently about that and believe that we should pay homage and remembrance to those that are that were fallen on that day, and I happen to agree with that camp. I don't think we need a national holiday. I think that a day of remembrance, and that's what I'm treating this as, is appropriate. Anyway, would like to hear from you. We'll talk to some of the staff as well. Get their recollections of September 11th, 2001, as we recognize the 11th anniversary of that fateful day. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. Welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. We'll take the break and we'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do. So whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we picked up a couple of accidents. First one's over on 75 southbound at 94. Has your left shoulder blocked with slow traffic from Holbrook. 94 westbound at Maross, accident has your right shoulder blocked, and you got slow traffic from 9 Mile. Also, it's a slow go on 696 westbound between 11 Mile and 75. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Bureau Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 11th, 2012. And we are going to go to the phones again. We are doing a remembrance of September 11th, 2001. If you'd like to share a story, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. We welcome Mike and Clausen. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tony. Good morning to you. You know, I don't have a remarkable story to share about 9/11 itself. But, you know, with all the national tragedies we have, which Pearl Harbor sticks in my mind, Bush comes out and says, go shopping. To me, that was the stupidest turning point that what we could have ever had. Instead of rallying the country, I don't even know what to call it, but that was just plain dumb. Don't you agree?
Well, listen, he really, I mean, immediately afterwards, I thought he did a fine job. But when the country was still afraid, when they stopped spending money, when they stopped traveling, when they really were just enraptured in fear, you're right. The response to that wasn't, and that happened to be on the 4th of July holiday weekend. The response to that should not have been, you know what, American people just need to go shopping. That's not what we needed to hear. There was nothing comforting in that advice. There was nothing that made us feel safe. And, he missed a real opportunity to bring the country together that year.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Mike. I do appreciate it. Let me go to Joe now. Joe, we briefly spoke of this yesterday, of course. You know, September 11th, 2001 did change the country, change the world to this day. It will never, never be the same. Just did my airport gig going to and from Charlotte. There's always my reminder of one of the things that September 11th changed. You were in college back then, right?
Yes, I was attending Wayne State University then. I was woken up. My grandma was in town staying with my mother and myself, and they were, like, hooting and hollering at, like, 8 in the morning, and I'm like, what's going on out there? I wake up and sleepy-eyed, rub my eyes, and time to look up at the TV and see the second plane strike the tower. And that's when it was like, oh, my, should I even go to school? I went down there and, should I use his name, our buddy?
Yeah, you can use his
name. Yeah, Jack Lessenberry teaches there journalism. When I was studying broadcast journalism, Mr. Lessenberry was my instructor. He comes out, makes a big display with his hands and everything, waving around the jazz hands, and says, everybody go home. You're sitting on Detroit's nuke point, because that's where all of the freeways intersect, is right in the new town, new center area, midtown, new center, rather. So, yeah, we shouldn't have been there. He said, everything's there. High alert. Get out of here. If you think this is a joke or anything, this is the time when you stop snickering. Go.
Yeah, that was a very serious time. There's no question about it. I know that, for younger people, I can't imagine. And actually, Anthony, I'm gonna invite you on. Of course, you were obviously, what, you were 10 at the time?
Yeah, 10.
Yeah. Do you have much recollection of that?
I remember it happening. They made an announcement over the PA that the Twin Towers had just been attacked. And at 10 years old, I don't even know what the Twin Towers were.
Right.
So it was just like, people were getting pulled out of school. And, to me, like, as a kid, it was just like, do I get to go home? And, so they didn't really sit us down and talk us through it and tell us what was going on. They kind of left that to, the parents to do.
Right. Well, and again, I had called, and, they said that they had announced that, there was an attack and that the kids were safe and that there was no reason to panic. And, again, if we wanted to come get our kids, they were allowing children to leave if parents came to get them, but that it really wasn't necessary. So, dude, you got stuck in school that day.
I survived.
Yeah, you did. You did survive. Kevin, let's bring you in as well. Certainly, you are old enough to remember September 11th, 2001. What are your recollections of that day?
I had actually just moved to Ypsilanti to start my first year of college at Eastern Michigan. So it was like within the first week or two of college. I had an early morning class, I think at like 7 to 8. After that first class, I went back to my dorm room, and my roommate just told me what had happened, and classes were canceled.
Yeah, I gotta imagine Kevin and Anthony and Joe. I've got to, there's a sense of surreality to all this when it first happens. You kind of don't know, as I didn't know quite how to react to it. By the time I found out, there had been two planes, and then of course the third plane was not to. Not too long after that, but there was just this sense of this isn't really happening. It was surreal, and of course it was very real. There's no question about that. I think to this day, as we think about September 11th in 2001 and. Everybody had that becomes a very personal thing. You talk to people. I remember when I was in college, I worked for a newspaper, and on one of the anniversaries of Kennedy being assassinated, I was assigned a story to go around and ask a handful of people, mostly older people, to recall what they were doing that day. And to a person, everybody had a story. Everybody had a story where they were, what they were doing. I mean, it was literally burned into their memory, which is really quite fascinating. Mike brings up a good point. Pearl Harbor is another one of those pivotal moments for this country, and many of that generation still remember it. And I said that, part of the controversy is that although we do commemorate Pearl Harbor Day, it is in the calendar, it is not a holiday, nor do I think September 11th should be a holiday. But a lot of people feel that, that September 11th, and they really do feel this way, gets a little bit too much publicity. I don't know that that's fair. I don't think it's fair to the victims, the families, the friends of those who were taken from us that day. And I think people should be allowed to address that day in any manner they see fit. Do we need a national holiday for it? Absolutely not. But certainly taking time to remember, to looking back, perhaps pausing if you're into prayer, praying, There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. But it was, again, it was a day that certainly, as FDR once said, it is a day that will live in infamy. There's no question about that. And I'll say it one more time. It has forever changed this country, and it has forever changed the world. So many things that have happened as a result of September 11th are a part of our everyday lives and how quickly we've adjusted to it. Yes, even the heinous Patriot Act, which continues to be renewed, even though we need to flush it down the toilet. Unfortunately, and as much as I love my friend John Conyers, when he admitted he didn't even read it before he voted on it, still makes me shudder. In fact, I was asked this question at the convention. Do you think, Tony, there should be a national law that requires congressmen to either read legislation before they vote on it or have it read to them? And my answer to that question was absolutely, positively, yes. All right, we're going to take a very quick break here. When we continue, attorney Dana Nessel will join us. She is the attorney for April DeBoer and Jane Rouse. They are the lesbian couple raising three beautiful children. They just wanted to adopt each other's kids so that their special needs could be taken care of. The court said no, but go ahead and challenge the same-sex marriage law that is constitutionally protected here in the state of Michigan. We'll get an update from Dana and what you can do to help April and Jane. I'm Tony Truffiano. We'll take a quick break on First Shift, and we'll continue right after this.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Chambers Hair Institute.
Checking your traffic, you're going to run into some slow spots on your drive, but here are the accidents you want to watch out for. Got a new one on M14 eastbound just before 275 has your right shoulder block. Still watching that accident on 94 westbound at Maross has your right shoulder block with slow traffic from 10 mile. Three cars are involved there. And also on 75 southbound at 94, accident has your left shoulder blocked. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Are you taking Propecia for hair loss and experiencing long-term side effects like decreased sex drive or anxiety? Chambers Hair Institute, the leaders in hair restoration since 1969, has alternative treatments without the side effects. Call today for your free consultation, 248-524-9911.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. More than 26,000 Chicago teachers went on strike Monday, their first strike in 25 years. Jesse Russell reports from Chicago on day one on the picket lines.
More than 5,000 teachers and their supporters took over nearly six blocks in the downtown area of Chicago surrounding City Hall on Monday. Questions around the legality of the strike remained due to a new law Mayor Rahm Emanuel says prohibits teachers from striking for anything other than compensation. While a pay raise is often cited in the media as the reason for the strike, it was clear in my discussions on the ground that it was not the primary issue of concern. First and foremost was having the resources to adequately address the needs of the students. Those needs range from air conditioning, more than 100 Chicago schools open without active air conditioning, and staffing. A need for more social workers was often cited, especially in areas of the city that have been hard hit by violence this year. As of September 9th, there had been 384 homicides in the city, putting violence in the city on a trajectory to surpass the number of homicides in 2011 by the end of the year. Helping students recover from tragedy in their neighborhoods or at home is the job of a social worker, who has more privileges than teachers who pry into the personal lives of a child who may not be responding well in the classroom.
American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten says no one wants to strike and no one strikes without cause. In a statement supporting the striking Chicago teachers, Weingarten said AFT members nationwide stand with the Chicago Teachers Union, which was the very first founding local of the national AFT.
Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel stripped teachers of a negotiated 4% raise that was already in a contract negotiated before Emanuel took office. Emanuel then offered the teachers 2% instead if they worked 90 minutes longer each day. This strike comes only after long and intense negotiations failed to reach an agreement. The first Chicago teacher strike in a quarter century is getting support from other unions. John Fitzgerald is with the Illinois Nurses Association.
I live in Chicago. You know, I'm a taxpayer in Chicago. I'm a citizen of Chicago. And we need good schools. They need to stop privatizing the schools. Teachers are one of the backbones of the city and our society. They need respect and fair contract.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the IBEW.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310
WDTW.
Now welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning First Shift program. Some of you will remember a few months back we had April DeBoer and Jane Rouse on this program. They are the lesbian couple that are lovingly raising three special needs children. All of them have certain medical conditions. What you'll remember about that particular story is that they didn't adopt them all together. And so only one of them can make decisions for two, and only one can make decisions for one. So they did something important. They asked the courts to allow them to be parents so that they could make decisions. I want to remind you, one of those people is a nurse. Both of them are loving, caring parents that are nurturing three beautiful children, two of them who are abandoned at birth. What did the court say? Well, we now turn to our attention to Dana Nessel, who is their attorney, and she joins us this morning to talk about this and what we can do to help. Dana, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me today, Tony.
Well, you know, let's just backtrack a little bit. I think I got the story basically right, don't I?
Well, I do want to correct one thing. Both April and Jane are nurses.
They're both nurses. Okay.
They are. April is a NICU nurse, and Jane is an emergency room nurse.
Okay.
So, and I think that was important because it really contributed towards the success of these three kids, not all of whom were expected to make it. But, you know, thankfully when you have two nurses taking care of you, these kids have really thrived in their homes.
Well, and of course, unfortunately, when you have laws in what has become a regressive state like Michigan, Dana Nessel, you find yourself challenged. So let's explain to this audience what happens if, God forbid, one of those mothers isn't available for a certain number of children in that household.
Well, there are so many things that can happen in the event that a child's not permitted by law to have two parents, which, of course, is the case. With all of these children is what we're fighting for in this case. But obviously, you know, when there is only one legal parent in the event of the death of the other parent, there is no automatic right to guardianship by the other parent, so we don't know what will happen to the children in that event. There's no laws protecting, you know, custody or child support or dependency benefits like Social Security, workers' compensation, pensions, insurance, tort law. The other parent doesn't have the right to make medical decisions about children that are not legally theirs. The laws of inheritance don't apply. I mean, the list goes on and on. But I think, essentially, I think your listeners should think of it as if you are raising a child who you don't have any more rights to than some random neighborhood child that lives down the street from you. It's their legal strangers.
Yeah, and that is beyond unfortunate. In fact, you know, Dana, I don't think it's unfair to say it could end up being tragic.
Oh, it could, and it does all the time. And, in fact, one of the things that led me to this case was a matter that I represented a few years ago in state court involving a couple that had been together for a lesbian couple that had been together for 20 years, and they had three children together that they had planned together. And there were 7-year-old twin boys and a 10-year-old girl. And after all these years together, the biological parent, decided that she did not want to be with the non-biological parent anymore. And because the non-biological parent had never been permitted to do a same-sex, second-party adoption, When the biological parent decided she didn't want to be with the other woman anymore, that was it. She got a PPO order and said you can never see the kids again. And that was over 3 years ago, and she never has. And that is just one example. And I say that because, let's face it, over 50% of heterosexual relationships break up. Obviously, the numbers are similar for same-sex relationships. I'm just trying to put your listeners in a place where they imagine, you know, being in a relationship with someone and, you know, deciding you want to have a family, raising kids together, and putting one person in the position of never, ever having any rights to those kids.
Oh, that is sad. So, you know, and to fast forward just a little bit, Jane and April come to you. They decide that they're going to sue for the right to adopt both of their children together, or however we want to say that, but that they would both have legal custody of all three children. The courts told you no.
Well, what happened was they came to me wanting both to do some probate type work where we made arrangements for the kids in the event of the death of one of them. And unfortunately, I had to go through the process of explaining to them what the state of the law was and that really there was no paperwork we could execute that would really protect the children in the event that one of them died. And I think a lot of people, again, they just really don't understand that. And that's when they said, well, we want to fight this law. We think this law is terrible. So we did. And we filed a challenge in federal court to the Michigan Adoption Code, which states that only a single person or a married couple can do a second-party adoption. And what ultimately happened in that case, and this just happened on August 29th, is Judge Friedman, in motion by the state of Michigan to dismiss the case, said he thought it would be important for us to amend our pleadings to include a challenge to the Michigan Marriage Amendment, which bans same-sex couples from marrying. And I presume the thought was, if the Michigan Marriage Amendment is deemed to be unconstitutional, then you don't have any problems with the adoption code, because they can get married. So they would be a married couple. So that's where we are right now.
And I'm assuming, Dana, you need to be married in the state of Michigan. It has to be a marriage that the state would recognize, correct?
That is correct. And you cannot go to another state. You can't go to New York or Massachusetts or Iowa or any other state where a same-sex couple could get a legally recognized marriage and come back to Michigan and have your marriage be recognized. There is no full faith and credit anymore due to the Defense of Marriage Act. And so when you come back, it's just the same as if you had never gotten married at all. A lot of couples, I think they do it for the symbolism, but it has no legal consequences whatsoever if you come back to Michigan.
Well, listen, I want to be upfront about something. You and I talked on the phone before I took off for the convention last week. I was very, very concerned about the legal fees, and I still am. And this isn't an inexpensive process, and I'm not sitting here trying to shill for April and Jane, but what I am trying to do is to make sure that constitutional rights are protected. But beyond that, beyond the law, I'm a parent, and I firmly believe that when two people love their children, they should be able to raise them as they see fit. April and Jane are loving, caring, nurturing, wonderful women. I've had them on the show. I've chatted with them off the air. I donated to their campaign the last time I had them on this program. Dana, is there a way that we can help them financially get through this process?
There certainly is. There is a website that's been established for their legal fund, and it's just their names. It's the Bauer, D-E-B-O-E-R, Rouse, R-O-W-S-E, Adoption Fund. And if anybody just enters that into a search engine, it is the first site that will come out, the Bauer Rouse Adoption Legal Fund. And right online, if anybody is interested, and we would very much welcome this, they can donate to this. I will indicate that there have never been any legal fees paid in this case. Myself and the other attorneys working on this case have been doing it completely pro bono. But obviously there's going to be a lot of expenses that relate to this lawsuit. It's particularly now that it is expanded to not just the Michigan Adoption Code, but also the Michigan Marriage Amendment. So it's going to be a much bigger case than we originally contemplated, and we did not, when we filed this case, we did not initially see it going to this, but this is where the case has led us. It's evolved to this. So it is going to encompass a lot more work, and it's going to help a lot more people. So we are excited about that. But we can definitely use all the help we can get when similar challenges have been done in other states. You know, they've amassed these enormous war chests, and we literally don't have any money at all. So, you know, we're just, but we're still doing our best. We're doing everything we possibly can on behalf of these women and on behalf of the cause.
Well, we're in the process of getting that website up on the Facebook page. And so for people that are getting ready for work or are driving in, you can just go to the First Shift Facebook page a little later on this morning, and you can just click on the link if you feel like you can make a donation to not just, you know, and this isn't even about helping Jane and April or making sure that Dana gets a paycheck. This is about making sure that three children that deserve loving parents get the best care possible. And to me, this has always been about the kids, Dana. It's I think April and Jane are wonderful parents, and I really do believe that. To me, this is about protecting the children.
Oh, it's 100% about protecting the children. That's why they did this. And that's why they chose to move on, because they felt as though they had to in order for their lawsuit to succeed. And frankly, they'll do anything that it takes to protect their kids at any sacrifice to themselves. That's how important the kids are to them, and that's what this case is about for April and Jane. Now, it just so happens it's going to benefit, I believe, a lot of other people for a lot of other different reasons, but for them it is about the kids.
All right. Dan, we need to take a break. Can you stay with us just a little bit longer?
Sure, absolutely.
I appreciate that. Dana Nussel is, again, our guest. She is the attorney for April DeBoer and Jane Rouse. They are a lesbian couple just wanting to adopt each other's children so that they can properly care for them. It's that simple. Unfortunately, the courts don't see it that way. Our law doesn't see it that way. And because of a constitutional amendment that was passed a few years ago, same-sex marriage is banned here in the state of Michigan. That will be challenged. Again, we're going to get that website up on the Facebook page. If it's not already there, it is already there. So go check that out. We'll take a break and continue with Dana Nussel right after we take this quick break.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. My guest is Dana Nessel. Dana is the attorney for April DeBoer and Jane Rouse. They are a lesbian couple that separately adopted collectively three children. It's just that they don't have the ability to make medical and other decisions for some of the kids because of the way the adoption laws work. And unfortunately, we live in a homophobic state that just doesn't recognize what love is. I'm serious. It's as simple as that. And Dana, as we take a look at this case, is there any chance this could become a class action suit?
Well, the way that we have it currently phrased, it's not a class action suit, but I do think that it's going to be very hard following a decision if it's made on behalf of April and Jane in terms of the court finding that the Michigan Marriage Amendment is unconstitutional. I think it's going to be tough for anyone else to then say that it's not going to apply to anybody else who challenges it, or if any other couple were to come in to their local city clerk and apply for a marriage license, I don't think they're going to be able to deny them. It's not going to apply just to April and Jane individually if this is done.
Well, you know, I've got to give them a lot of credit for sticking with this. But, you know, I have to, at the same time, Dana, I have to ask you this question. You had to put, I would think, some considerable thought into whether or not you wanted to stay with this case. This does take up a lot of your time. And as you said, you haven't received a penny from this.
No, and you know what? It's funny because when we were sitting in court and when Judge Friedman several times recommended to us that he thought the case needed to be expanded to include the Michigan Marriage Amendment. And we had very much avoided that particular issue for a number of reasons. But first and foremost, we didn't think it was necessary in this case because we thought there were different ways to challenge the Michigan Adoption Code without having to touch the Michigan Marriage Amendment, which, of course, we would have loved to see go by the wayside. But that was not the fight that we were prepared to fight. It was a much smaller one, even though it's significant, but still much smaller. And when it was made clear to us that that was what we needed to do, it really was a feeling of exasperation because we worked so hard in this so long and at great expenses to our personal practices and to our families. So when I heard that, I just I almost wanted to cry because, of course, I knew it was something that we were really going to have to consider doing. But I just thought, I don't know how much longer we can possibly keep this up. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can't look back 20 years from now and think that we had this opportunity and we didn't pursue it. I know for April and Jane, their thought, you know, they were at the breaking point, too. I think they were hoping for a light at the end of the tunnel, and this pretty much starts the case all over again and on a much, much broader level. So we all thought about it long and hard, and we also, frankly, thought about the precedent value-setting considerations of this case and how it would affect not just the people in Michigan, but the Sixth Circuit and the entire country, because that's a lot of responsibility, Tony. So we got to put a lot of thought into that.
Well, you know, Dana, you better be careful. You're going to give an attorney's a good name here.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, something that you said a minute ago kind of struck me about how we live in a homophobic state. And I just want to share this this short story of something that just happened to me on Sunday. I had an acting neighbor of mine, and she could watch my kids so I could spend a couple hours working on the case. And this woman is she's a card-carrying member of the Republican Party. She's a Catholic, and she's a PTA mom. And she knew I was working on this case. And when I came to pick my kids up, she said, you know what, yes, you know, we are fiscal conservatives, but our family still believes in equal rights for everyone. And it really touched me because I thought there's a lot of people out there that they may not be Democrats, they may not be liberals, but they don't believe in this kind of discrimination. They still think this is wrong. And I wish that our state legislators reflected that, which they don't. And I think that in 2004, when the Michigan Marriage Amendment passed, I think a lot of people didn't understand the effect that would have on people in Michigan. It's not the same in California or Illinois or other places where you're allowed to have a civil union or you're allowed to register as domestic partners. And you can have adoption rights and you can have insurance rights. And you can have all these other panoply of rights. It's just not called a marriage. In Michigan, that's not the case. You cannot have any of those rights. You're not allowed to have a domestic partnership or a civil union or any of those things. You are denied every single solitary right that people in those states where they are fighting so hard to be able to marry already have.
Well, you know,
that's the difference between Michigan and those other states.
Yeah, you know, Dana, that's what it continues to confound me. If there's one topic that should be nonpartisan, it should be human rights. It just should be. And unfortunately, you just demonstrated how it is not. I do want to repeat something that I said to you privately, and I'll say it again on air. I am more than happy to help in any way I can. Certainly, well, we'd like to get April and Jane back on the show, and we'll do that. But if there's a fundraiser, if I can be helpful, if you need somebody to come host something, you just let me know, and I'm there for this family. I want to make sure that these kids have the same opportunities that my kids have. I want to make sure that that no tragedy. And we need to remember, some of these children that Jane and April are raising have medical conditions, and God forbid they find themselves in a situation where the other mom just can't be found. God forbid, what if she's in the emergency room working to save someone's life and she loses the life of her own child?
Well, and, you know, it's funny, but something that April and Jane have said before is that this is a constant concern. It's on their minds all the time. What if something happens to one of them? What will happen to the other kids? And will they lose their siblings? And will they lose their grandparents? And all of that is a definite possibility. It could really happen at any time. And, you know, it is a huge concern. And I think that most people really don't understand those implications. And I come across many people who, regardless of what political party they're affiliated with, they think that it's very, very wrong that that's the case. And I had I guess I'll call it a radio conversation with a certain individual from the American for the Family Association, which is really just a hate group. And I said to this individual when he was railing against why same-sex couples should not be able to jointly adopt, he said, how many special needs abandoned babies have you taken into your home, sir? And of course, the answer was none.
Of course. Unfortunately, so, Dana, we're out of time. That's the music tells us we got to go, so we got to go. But we'll visit again, and I'll, of course, looking forward to talking to you off air, but you know I'm there for you.
Well, Tony, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And on behalf of April and Jane and the other attorneys that are working so fiercely in an effort to win this lawsuit, we thank you all very, very much.
Well, thank you. Dana Nessel, once again, we've got to take a break for the top of the hour. When we continue, Zach Pohl with Progress Michigan as we begin our weekly series with them and Colonel Cedric Layton on national security. Stay with us.
Thank you. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, you're going to run into some slow spots on your drive, but here are the accidents you want to watch out for. Got a new one on M14 eastbound, just before 275, has your right shoulder blocked. Still watching that accident on 94 westbound at Maross, has your right shoulder blocked with slow traffic from 10 mile. Three cars are involved there. And also on 75 southbound at 94, accident has your left shoulder blocked. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. 1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, now on for four full hours from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iglesiaski. Remembering 9/11 on the 11th anniversary of the terrorist attacks that killed nearly 3,000 Americans in New York at the Pentagon and that field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. That's where Defense Secretary Leon Panetta paid tribute to the heroes of Flight 93.
The 40 passengers and crew of that flight responded with selflessness, determination, and tremendous courage.
A more intimate ceremony at the September 11th Memorial in New York, where only relatives will read the names of those who died when the Twin Towers fell. Today is the second day out of class for students in Chicago's public schools. Negotiators for striking teachers and the school district coming up empty so far. And Facebook stock may be worth just half the IPO price, but not everybody's down in the dumps. In fact, Facebook co-founder Dustin Moskovitz is making a killing, selling 7 million shares for $143 million. This is NBC News Radio. The attack ads get a day's rest today. President Obama and Mitt Romney taking a break from political events on this 11th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Both have agreed to take down their political ads for the day as well. Congress is back, but showing no signs of tackling debt issues that economists call the fiscal cliff facing the nation on January 1st. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell says a more immediate goal, keeping the government running on October 1st.
Part of what they will do is look at the budget for preventing a government shutdown. So we expect this week that they will extend the funding for the government well into the new year. So it takes that out of the election cycle.
Wall Street looking up this morning. Stock futures point to a higher open. And tablets are fast becoming the computer of choice for flyers, pulling even with old tech laptops. Surveys say the explosion of new devices fueling a change in the way people travel and an increased demand for Wi-Fi at 30,000 feet. I'm Jim Iglesiaski, NBC News Radio.
You won't want to miss the oil and filter change special going on now at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts stores. Get a 5-quart jug of Peak Conventional Motor Oil and a MicroGuard oil filter for $15.99. Protect your engine with the Peak Conventional Oil and MicroGuard oil filter special at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you heard? Proactiv is America's top acne system because it works. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Proactiv heals acne and helps prevent new breakouts. We're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers can try Proactiv risk-free and get a free dark spot corrector just for participating. Plus, free shipping. Call 1-800-243-6665. That's 1-800-243-6665.
Small businesses are feeling better as owners become more optimistic on the economy and future sales, and as many increase their plans to hire. The National Federation of Independent Business says its Small Business Optimism Index rose for the first time in 3 months in August to some of the best levels seen since the recession. And staffing firm Manpower says the job outlook in the U.S. is holding steady, suggesting the recent pace of slow but steady job growth may continue in coming months. Still, Manpower says the current three-year-old job recovery has been slow lower than in the past. Discounted e-books are back on Amazon.com just days after a judge approved the settlement between the Department of Justice and three publishers. The leading U.S. bookseller has begun to discount HarperCollins e-book titles. HarperCollins titles now also appearing in the Kindle Owners Lending Library. S&P stock futures moving up by about 5 points now. NASDAQ ahead 8. Dow futures in the plus column by 40 points. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Safelite repair, Safelite replace.
Ryan, technician with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safelite, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safelite has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safelite or call 1-800-800-2727 or go to safelite.com.
IBM System X, x86 servers, and a mid-sized company.
One company makes these, and another these. Different companies with one thing in common, IBM System X x86 servers. They're flexible, affordable, and high-performing, with the System X 3650 M4 delivering up to 84% improved performance over its previous generation system. So even if these companies are different, IBM can help both.
For more on IBM System X servers with Intel Xeon processors, go to ibm.com/systems/choice.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
A car continuously filled with low detergent gas
can go this far,
while a car continuously filled with BP gasoline with Invigorate
can go a little farther.
When used continuously, BP gasoline with Invigorate helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so your car can get a few more miles per tank compared to one that continuously uses low detergent gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Go a little farther.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 11th, 2012. And we have an amazing hour of radio. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we are going to welcome to the show Colonel Cedric Layton, retired U.S. Air Force, who's going to talk to us about national security. Will ask and get the question answered, are we safer 11 years after September 11th than we were, 11 and one day ago? And we'll get to that a little later on in this hour. But I'm really proud and happy to announce that we are bringing back as a regular guest Progress Michigan. As many of you know, when David Holtz left us, we dropped that as a regular segment on the show. With the expansion of the show to 4 hours, we were allowed to bring them back. And the first call I made was to Progress Michigan, asking them if they would like to be regular contributors to First Shift. They gladly agreed, and joining us now is the executive director of Progress Michigan, our friend Zach Pohl. And Zach, it's a pleasure to not only have you on the show, but to be able to have you and Jessica Tremontana on a regular basis. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, we're looking forward to it as well. Good to be with you.
For those that are not familiar with Progress Michigan, Zach, let's give people a little bit of background before we get into our topic today.
Sure. Well, we're a progressive advocacy group that fights every day to hold politicians, both in Lansing and Washington, accountable. We work specifically with other progressive groups, labor unions, environmental organizations, social justice groups, to sort of help be a megaphone for them and help them get their message out. The corporate media and special interests have plenty of resources at their disposal to get their message out there. That frankly is an agenda that's hurting middle class families, and so we're really here to help give voice to those in the progressive community and help push back against the right wing corporate agenda out there and advocate for Michigan's working and middle class families.
Yeah, well, that's what you guys do is incredibly important work, you continue to be not only an advocate, but a beacon for those of us that need help just beyond our point of view. And the advocacy work you do is really critical to helping really all people of the state of Michigan, not just liberals, not just progressives, but all people. And I want to point out something you said just a second ago, that you hold all politicians accountable. And I think people need to understand that. You're not just holding Republicans accountable. You're holding everyone accountable.
Absolutely. I mean, they're elected to serve the people, and I think that's often gets kind of overlooked. I mean, a lot of the media gets caught up in things like horse races and sort of he said she said politics, and we're really trying to help sort of cut through the clutter and help hold our elected officials accountable to the people who put them in office.
No, absolutely. Listen, we were going to talk about something today that I think is a fairly critical conversation. In the last hour, we spoke with the attorney for the gay couple in Hazel Park, Zach, that are trying to adopt each other's children, and the courts have basically told them that they needed to challenge the same-sex marriage constitutional amendment here in the state of Michigan. The reason I bring that up is their children are special needs children, and they will grow up to have disabilities. And they will have a hard enough time finding a job. But what you're about to tell us is not only stunning, but just dead wrong.
Sure. Well, Michigan's in an interesting place economically right now. We've seen over the last year and a half or so our economy has really bounced back, due in large part to the resurgence in the auto industry that was, of course, driven by President Obama's rescue of GM and Chrysler. But since Governor Snyder's policies have taken effect earlier this year, we've actually seen unemployment start to go back up about 3 months in a row here now. The governor just sent out layoff notices to workers in a department in Michigan that exclusively work with workers who have disabilities, both physical and developmental. They work hand-in-hand with them to help them find jobs. They basically serve as a point of contact to put them in touch with small businesses across the state who are looking to hire workers. And this program has been incredibly successful over the years, has helped hundreds of workers with disabilities find stable, meaningful employment. And unfortunately, Governor Snyder doesn't think this is a priority. He's actually going to lay off about 15 of these workers in offices all over the state. And we just think that's bad news for Michigan. We think it's ultimately going to be a lose-lose for Michigan's small businesses, but also taxpayers.
Well, so some are going to say, well, 15 doesn't sound like that many, and I don't know how large that staff is, but, Zach Pohl, it's going to be 15 less people helping a very deserving constituency that don't have many advocates out there.
Well, and a great example is some of these workers, they're called employee service interviewers up in sort of the Saginaw Bay City area. Every year host a jobs fair, a local jobs fair that's been incredibly successful. Lots of local businesses come to and have hired dozens, if not hundreds of workers over the years. And it's a great event. And it's actually coming up, I think, in about a week or so. Events like that, they're not going to be able to do anymore after these layoffs take effect. And again, this isn't just about helping these workers with disabilities. It's about helping small businesses who are looking to hire people. And in this tough economy, we should do everything we can for businesses that want to hire folks, help make that connection possible. And that's what this program is all about. And it's unfortunate that Governor Snyder is pushing these layoffs through. And so over the next day or so, we're really going to be helping to push back and try to call on the Snyder administration to rethink these short-sighted jobs.
Well, you know, Zach, as we look at the group of people that are affected by these layoffs, it of course begs the question by eliminating 15 salaries and do whatever you need to do. But it doesn't sound to me like this is this would be a drop in the bucket to a budget that reaches into the billions of dollars. I'm sure that somebody's made an appeal to the governor, and this is an executive decision. This is not a legislative decision, correct?
That's correct. And, you know, the other thing here is you have to look at the big picture here as well. I mean, these state employees help workers who have physical and developmental disabilities. These are people who, if they don't have a good, steady job, might otherwise be dependent on state aid, other forms of state aid, be it unemployment, food stamp assistance, things like this. And so instead, they're helping them find jobs. I've heard some really inspiring stories about people like in wheelchairs, for instance, who've never been able to have a steady job, who now have gone to work in call service centers. A gentleman with some developmental impairments now has a steady job working at a local grocery store, is able to live independently now. And, you know, just some really inspiring stories and great success stories for local businesses. And it's just a shame that the governor's administration doesn't see this as a priority at a time when we need to be doing everything we can to help put everyone back to work. And it's especially shameful that we're cutting this program that specifically works with workers who have disabilities.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You look at the group of people that came together yesterday in support of not the mandating these layoffs, and they are not necessarily people that would always agree, especially small business. But small business really stepped up to the plate this time, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it's fascinating. We've heard some really inspiring stories from some of these local businesses. One I mentioned up in the sort of Saginaw Bay City area. Some of your listeners may be familiar with the restaurant, the Bavarian Inn, up in Frankenmuth.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They participated in this jobs fair up there before and hired about six workers through this program. There's another local grocery store in the Jackson area that's hired some workers through this program. And so, you know, again, you got to look at the big picture here. It's not just the state employees who are facing these layoffs from the administration. It's the small businesses that are not going to be able to help. And it's these workers in local communities who otherwise may not be able to find steady employment that are going to be out. And again, we just see this as a lose-lose, not just for small businesses, but taxpayers as well.
Has anybody, and I'm sure they have, reached out to the governor and asked him to reconsider this?
Yeah, well, we're starting that process right now. We're going to be putting some pressure on the governor, calling on him to rethink this proposal, or at a minimum, you know, at least, you know, rethink if there's another alternative to this. You know, it was really interesting last week. Governor Snyder rolled out this so-called bureaucracy busters program, which really just sort of seems like a lot of window dressing and kind of just another publicity stunt. A lot of state employee unions actually have been pushing for some very serious reforms to the way state government does business to help provide better service to small businesses and taxpayers. And actually released a report on it. It was called the New Solutions Report earlier this year that was presented to the governor. He paid a lot of lip service saying he was going to take a close look at it and seriously consider some of these reforms that were proposed by state employees. So far, we haven't really heard anything. It's basically just been more window dressing, more sort of publicity stunts from the governor, which we just think is, you know, at the end of the day, he needs to get his priorities straight and decide if he's going to focus on some of these, you know, publicity stunts with his, you know, bureaucracy busters, or if he's really going to be serious about reforming state government and helping improve the way the state does business.
That, of course, means that we help all our citizens, not just those that are more capable. Zach, stay where you're at. We need to take a quick break. We're going to come back and revisit some of this and kind of want to know how the American with Disability Act fits in with all of this. So we're going to take a quick break here. Zach Pohl, again, my guest. He's the executive director at Progress Michigan. You'll find a link to their website on our Facebook page, where we always put the good stuff. So go check it out. Just go to Facebook and search for First Shift. That's where you'll find it. A quick break here, of course. Feel free to join us if you have a question or comment for Zach. We'd love to take it. 888-552-3595. We'll take that break now. We'll be back on First Shift right after this.
Mm-hmm. First Chip with Tony Tribbiani.
Fox News contributor Michelle Malkin.
There's a very popular contrast of the difference between Romney and his supporters and Barack Obama and his supporters. The Romney types, of course, are the ones who sign the front of the paycheck, and the Obama types are the ones who've spent their entire lives signing the back of them.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your rush hour traffic, and 696 is your hot spot. We got an accident that's blocking the left lane on 696 eastbound at Coolidge with stop-and-go traffic from Southfield Road. Staying on 696 eastbound at 75, another accident has your left lane blocked, and you got stop-and-go traffic from Woodward, and it's also blocking the right shoulder. We got a disabled vehicle that's blocking your left lane on 94 eastbound at Trumbull, and we got heavy traffic on eastbound 94 between Addison and 14th Street. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, my guest again, Zach Pohl, Executive Director of Progress Michigan. We begin what will be a weekly series with Progress Michigan, and very happy to do that. We will be focusing on a lot of issues that chances are the only place you will hear about them, probably like this story, is right here on this program. And Zach, I want to welcome you back. These layoffs are set to take effect on September 30th. And, you know, I want to make a point clear here because I just got a nasty email from one of the asshats that listens to the show. Disabled people are looking for a hand up, not a handout. This isn't a handout program. This is not a charitable program.
No, absolutely. In fact, it's specifically intended to help people with disabilities find jobs so they're not reliant on programs like food stamps and Social Security and welfare and whatnot. This is really intended to help give them a hand up, hopefully even into the middle class. And like I said, I've read so many different success stories over the last few weeks or so as I've learned more about what's going on to the Michigan Rehabilitation Services Program. And, again, it's really about a hand up to help folks with disabilities and to help small businesses, too, hire workers. And that's what we should be doing in this tough economy.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, we have the Americans with Disabilities Act, and I know that that's helped literally thousands, if not millions, of disabled people to protect their rights in the workplace. It would seem to me that that cutting the critical service staff to a program like ESI is kind of a slap in the face to the American with Disabilities Act, unless I'm reading this wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we're doing some research right now that this may actually violate some federal mandates that the state provide these services to workers with disabilities. We don't have some final clarity on that yet. But the bottom line is, I think, you know, at a minimum, we have, you know, certainly a moral motivation to help people with disabilities find employment, but also an economic one. Like I said, this impacts not just taxpayers, but small businesses and local communities. And, you know, you don't have to be a nerd to know that the math here just doesn't add up. I mean, cutting these 15 jobs really isn't going to do anything meaningfully to help the state's budget, but it could have a bigger, longer-term impact when it comes to helping people with disabilities. Pardon me, helping people with disabilities find jobs.
Well, that really is the troubling problem here, Zach, isn't it? I mean, you know, we're looking at the governor really targeting an area. You are right. It's not going to make a significant dent in the budget. He's targeting a constituency that has proven to benefit from these services. And although I want to make this clear, the MRS employees that are being displaced are in Lansing, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, and Grand Rapids. Doesn't mean it doesn't affect folks here in the Metro Detroit area, because there will be a domino effect to this.
Oh, actually, in fact, there will be some workers in the Detroit area, and unfortunately, even some as far as the UP. They're really spread out all over the state, working in you know, some of these like regional offices. But you know, if you take a step back here, it really speaks to just sort of how out of whack the politicians in Lansing are when it comes to having the right priorities for Michigan. You know, as we saw over the last, you know, 2 years or so since Governor Snyder was elected, we've slashed education funding, raised taxes on seniors' pensions, and, you know, while, you know, these very sort of small targeted cuts to the ESI program may not seem anywhere near as big to the cuts we saw to education, again, it's just, you know, where are our priorities? We're literally cutting programs to help disabled people find jobs while we're meanwhile giving these huge handouts to big corporations that outsource jobs. Bottom line is, we need our elected officials in Lansing to get their priorities straight so they can, you know, start putting people back to work and get our economy moving again.
You know, and talk about a nonpartisan thing to rally behind. I would think that party politics doesn't even belong in this discussion. There isn't a legislator that doesn't have disabled constituents. You would think that they would do everything in their power to ask the governor not to institute these layoffs, to continue to provide a level of service. And let's be honest about it, Zach. It's not like every disabled person's getting placed, but it gets more people placed than not having these folks around.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, while this is an executive-level decision, I mean, we would certainly encourage people to contact their state legislators and ask them to help, because certainly if Governor Snyder's hearing from legislators, hopefully from both sides of the aisle, that they're hearing from their constituents about this, they'll reconsider it. The end of the month's just a couple of weeks away, but we're going to be ramping up here to try to put some pressure on them to rethink these cuts. We just think the numbers don't add up, and it just doesn't make sense for Michigan right now.
Well, once again, we're going to ask this audience to do what we ask them to do so often, and that's get on the phone and let the governor's office know that you do not agree with the layoffs. That's all you need to remember. you don't agree with the layoffs to MRS program staff. That's all you have to remember. MRS program staff. Don't lay these folks off. Now, they have already received their layoff notices. They are supposed to stop working on September 30th. I would like to think that if enough of us reach out to them and our elected representatives, whether they be in the state house or the state senate, to put pressure on the governor to reverse this decision, it has to be helpful. It just has to be.
Absolutely. Every bit helps. And just one other quick note is, there's also, I mean, we didn't get a chance to talk about it here, but we'll also be talking about this over the coming weeks. There's even more cuts planned to the state unemployment agency. These are the folks who take calls when people lose jobs, help them get the unemployment benefits they need. There's going to be well over 100 layoffs also in that program at the end of this month. And that's just the rank and file people who lost a job. And again, we've seen our unemployment rate go up 3 months in a row here in Michigan now. It doesn't seem like it's the time to be, cutting back on these state employees who help put people in touch with the benefits they deserve when they lose a job.
You know, Zach Pohl, it makes you wonder after being sold that by cutting business taxes and placing the burden of taxation onto the elderly in our society and the middle class by cutting school funding, both at the higher ed and the K-12 level, that businesses were going to beat a path to the Michigan door and start opening up shops all over the state. Perhaps they didn't get the memo.
Yeah, we're still waiting for the reinvention we were promised by Governor Snyder, and it hasn't quite come yet. You know, again, thankfully, our economy sort of from a macro sense is picking up due to the auto resurgence we've seen thanks to President Obama. But, you know, now we just need our leaders in Lansing to get their priorities straight. Start investing in education, start investing in renewable energy, rebuilding our roads and bridges. That's what it's going to take to really get our economy moving again.
You know, very quickly, we're just about out of time, Zach, but you do have to wonder because they are, the legislature in the state of Michigan is basically lame duck already. They do go back to work next week. We know the Republicans still control the House and the Senate. I don't see anything. I think we're better off with them being on recess.
No, you know, it's fascinating. You know, the fact that they've been out of town may actually be a blessing in disguise. They can't do any more harm right now, but it sure would be nice when they are in town and in session if they would, you know, actually start working together on, you know, again, investing in education and fixing our roads and bridges, and instead of just, you know, continually attacking the middle class and giving more handouts to corporations. It doesn't work, and we just need to get our priorities straight.
Zach Pohl, Executive Director of Progress Michigan, thanks so much. Really looking forward to this series.
Thanks, Tony.
You bet. A quick break here for the bottom of the hour. When you continue, Colonel Sadrick Layton, U.S. Air Force, retired on national security. This is First Shift. We'll take the break and continue right after we take this break on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your rush hour traffic, and 696 is your hot spot. We got an accident that's blocking the left lane on 696 eastbound at Coolidge with stop-and-go traffic from Southfield Road. Staying on 696 eastbound at 75, another accident has your left lane blocked, and you got stop-and-go traffic from Woodward, and it's also blocking the right shoulder. We got a disabled vehicle that's blocking your left lane on 94 eastbound at Trumbull, and we got heavy traffic on eastbound 94 between Addison and 14th Street. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. More than 26,000 Chicago teachers went on strike Monday, their first strike in 25 years. Jesse Russell reports from Chicago on day one on the picket lines.
Yeah. More than 5,000 teachers and their supporters took over nearly six blocks in the downtown area of Chicago surrounding City Hall on Monday. Questions around the legality of the strike remained due to a new law Mayor Rahm Emanuel says prohibits teachers from striking for anything other than compensation. While a pay raise is often cited in the media as the reason for the strike, it was clear in my discussions on the ground that it was not the primary issue of concern. First and foremost was having the resources to adequately address the needs of the students. Those needs range from air conditioning, more than 100 Chicago schools open without active air conditioning, and staffing. A need for more social workers was often cited, especially in areas of the city that have been hard hit by violence this year. As of September 9th, there had been 384 homicides in the city, putting violence in the city on a trajectory to surpass the number of homicides in 2011 by the end of the year. Helping students recover from tragedy in their neighborhoods or at home is the job of a social worker who has more privileges than teachers who pry into the personal lives of a child who may not be responding well in the classroom.
American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten says no one wants to strike and no one strikes without cause. In a statement supporting the striking Chicago teachers, Weingarten said AFT members nationwide stand with the Chicago Teachers Union, which was the very first founding local of the national AFT. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel stripped teachers of a negotiated 4% raise that was already in a contract negotiated before Emanuel took office. Emanuel then offered the teachers 2% instead if they worked 90 minutes longer each day. This strike comes only after long and intense negotiations failed to reach an agreement. The first Chicago teacher strike in a quarter century is getting support from other unions. John Fitzgerald is with the Illinois Nurses Association.
I live in Chicago. You know, I'm a taxpayer in Chicago. I'm a citizen of Chicago. And we need good schools. They need to stop privatizing the schools. Teachers are one of the backbones of the city and our society. They need respect and fair contract.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the IBEW.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. The introduction to my next guest is going to take a little longer than I normally would take, but I think it's important you understand the seriousness of this guest. As we have been talking about all morning long, this is, of course, the 11th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. So many things have changed, not just both domestically but internationally. And my next guest has felt it from the inside out, unlike most of us who felt it from the outside looking in. Joining us now is cybersecurity expert and a leadership in risk management. Colonel Cedric Layton has a 26-year, and he's retired, has 26 years experience as a military intelligence officer in the United States Air Force and specializes in national security and intelligence, cyber strategy, and organizational leadership. A former member of the Joint Staff Pentagon under Admiral Mullen and General Pace, and Deputy Training Director for the National Security Agency serving under General Keith Alexander, Colonel Layton was responsible for training thousands of NSA military personnel in intelligence and cybersecurity detection, prevention, and assessments. Colonel Layton led an intelligence team deployed to Saudi Arabia in support of the shock and awe phase of Operation Iraqi Freedom. This team was credited with enabling the destruction of 95% of Saddam Hussein's air defense. In the course of his military career, Colonel Layton has deployed five times to the Middle East and is the recipient of numerous military awards, including the Defense Superior Service Medal, and the Bronze Star for his work in Operation Iraqi Freedom. He also has a compelling story to tell about September 11th, 2011. I want to welcome Colonel Cedric Layton to First Shift. And I want to, first of all, Colonel, say good morning and thank you for your service to the country and your ongoing service to safety. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, Tony, it's my pleasure to be with you, and thanks for the really nice introduction. It was definitely quite a day that will always stay with me in my memory.
Well, I would, if you wouldn't mind going back 11 years and recounting what happened that morning, because you have an exceptional story.
Well, at that time I was stationed at Fort Meade, Maryland, which is the headquarters of the National Security Agency, and I was the director of operations for an Air Force entity known as the 70th Intelligence Wing. And we had developed this capability, really a technique that was known as national tactical integration. We were briefing it to the deputy director of the National Security Agency that very morning. And the briefing had started. The first plane had already crashed into the world, the first tower at the World Trade Center. And so we knew that something had happened. The initial supposition, even within NSA, was that it was an accident. And then, of course, the briefing started again. And the deputy director was listening to the opening slide that I was giving, and I was giving the presentation. And an assistant came in, whispered in his ear, and he got up and he just left. And he never did that in normal circumstances. And then, of course, at that time, soon after that, we figured out that the second plane had hit. We went immediately into what the military calls battle staff mode, which basically means that you start accounting for all your personnel, start figuring out what to do next, and you're pooling all your resources to make sure that you can do what you need to do in order to respond to the attacks. At that time, we didn't know if there would be more attacks. We didn't know, exactly how things would play out. And of course, then within a few minutes, the Pentagon was hit, and then we had the Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, crash into that area, and it was a very tough day, but the program that we were briefing the deputy director on was implemented that very night, and what it called for was the integration, the first complete integration of intelligence into the operational aspects of the Air Force's flying mission. And what that meant was that pilots in the cockpit could have access to intelligence that they had never had access to before. So in some ways it was a right place, right time kind of scenario, but it was one of those situations where we had a capability that was just starting out. We had the concept ready, and then we were able to implement it that night, and then that became a part of our operational effort as we went into Afghanistan the next month.
Well, Colonel Layton, as you know, there's of course been a great deal of controversy post September 11th. Some claim that we overreacted. Others claim we underreacted. We could go through a whole gamut of things, but that really doesn't. That's really not for today's program. The question I've been promoting all morning, I certainly want to ask you. Here we are 11 years later. We know things are different, but are they safer?
Well, Tony, I think that the answer in the aggregate is yes, and here's why. The intelligence agencies, let's take them as the first step, have actually integrated themselves into a combined operation much better than was the case prior to 9/11. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is foolproof. There are still things that could go wrong, and we all know that those of us who've touched this business, and those of us like you who have looked at it from a media standpoint, know that there are always things that can go terribly wrong. But the fact of the matter is the intelligence agencies are working much better together today than they did prior to 9/11. And that means a lot, because what that means is that information can be shared between foreign and domestic intelligence services, CIA, FBI, the NSA, all of those parts of the intelligence community who play a vital role in really analyzing all of the information that is out there can talk to each other in a much better fashion than they did before. For example, the relationship between the CIA and the military. from an information sharing perspective is much, much improved. And those improvements were actually evident as early as the first days after September 11, when the Afghanistan operation was starting up, and they continued to evolve in Iraqi freedom. We had a great connection with between the CIA and ourselves, and it was a really good collegial passing of information and a way in which analysis could occur using elements from all of the different agencies, and that's a big deal. Because if the agencies didn't talk to each other, they would deprive themselves of that kind of information. And so that was part of the real real response to 9/11, and it made a big, big difference.
Yeah, I'm not a scaremonger, and I've never claimed to be, but I think it would be naive of us in this country to think that we have nothing to worry about. There are a lot of different levels of terrorism. They're not all going to be airplanes crashing into buildings, which I guess is why you continue to be a very you're a very successful consultant in this industry as it relates to corporate safety and protecting corporate secrets and certainly other clients. So we would be naive to think that we shouldn't worry about this. This is still an important issue, is it not?
Absolutely, Tony. And the reason it's important is because when a tactic like using airplanes to fly into buildings is used, that is something that is in essence not necessarily a one-time occurrence, but our natural inclination is to prevent that attack from happening again. What usually happens is the enemy adapts, and in this case, Al Qaeda or similar organizations are very, very willing to use other tactics and techniques to get to their goals. So you always have to be on the lookout for these kinds of things. One of the things that has also happened is that what they call the lone wolf attacks, the possibility of lone wolf attacks, is definitely something that we have to look at. And in some ways, you can say that possibility has increased, and it is a much more dangerous possibility than would otherwise be the case with a with something that's big like an airplane going in or a group doing things. And one of the things that we were able to do is really disrupt the groups in the 11 years intervening from 9/11 2001 until today. One of the things that we've noticed is that it's much harder for groups like Al Qaeda to actually get together and plan things. They can still do it, but they have a lot of problems doing it, and it's logistical, it's communications, it's all of those different pieces. But that does not mean that we need to that we can let our guard down, because like you mentioned, there are so many different things that could go wrong, so many different possibilities. Some of them involve a small nuclear bomb, for example. You could use what's called a dirty bomb to wreak havoc in a city. That would be a devastating attack, and it could be carried out by very few people who don't really communicate that much, and that could be something that could happen. The other things that could happen involve things like anthrax, other biological agents, other chemical agents. Those kinds of things could happen. What is much better, though, is our ability, not only within the intelligence community and with law enforcement, but also among the general population, to go out and actually do what they say in law enforcement. If you see something, say something. And that makes a huge, huge difference. I think it's helped New York City out quite a bit. It's helped other areas in the United States, some of them public, some of them not, in terms of thwarting terrorist attacks or potential terrorist attacks. And that is that is a very, very good thing. But the risks are still there, and the way these things morph into different elements is something that that is very, very dangerous in some respects, because you never know where they're going to strike next. And you'd mentioned that I work in the cyber field as well. This realm of cyber is an area where it is somewhat easier to get into and create disruptions that are often not noticed until it is too late. And the disruptions are more economic in nature sometimes. Sometimes they mean the stealing of intellectual property, things like that. And so it's another realm that attackers could get into the U.S. and wreak some havoc and cause some damage.
Colonel Layton, can I ask you to stay with us? We need to take a break.
No problem, Tony.
I appreciate that. Colonel Cedric Layton is my guest. We'll continue our discussion on national security, and it's important on this 11th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, my guest is Colonel Cedric Layton, U.S. military retired, United States Air Force. We again thank him for his service to the country and his continued service to the country. You know, as I think, Colonel Layton, about all of the things that should be nonpartisan, national security, certainly in my top three. There's no question that's true. If there's one place we should certainly be very careful we don't make too many cuts is in national security. Let there be one weakness, one crack, and somebody will find it. I'm a firm believer in that.
That is, you know, the preeminent duty of the federal government is to provide proper national security for the country. It is also something, though, that requires all of the citizens to be involved in as much as they possibly can. It doesn't mean that they need to be experts, but it does mean that they need to, pay attention enough so that they can understand what the big things are out there, you know, what the possible risks are, and understand when we do commit troops to an area why that is. And if it's wrong, stand up and say so. If it's the right thing, then obviously, support it. And it all depends on, you know, each situation. Each situation is different. But, in this particular time, in this particular place, and given the role of the United States, it becomes very, very important not only for our country, but really for the safety and security of the entire world.
You know, that brings up an interesting question. Looking at your bio, I think there would be very few people that have as much Middle Eastern experience as you do. Our relationships with our foreign partners, especially with sharing intelligence, I'm gonna hope that's gotten better over the last 11 years.
Generally, it has, and now there are going to be exceptions to that. For example, you know, if you take a look at Pakistan, the relationship there is has been an on-again, off-again relationship, and it was, you know, I would say much better before 9/11 when they didn't really have us in their backyard, but in that backyard being Afghanistan. But having said that, you know, generally speaking, our intelligence relationships with other nations have improved greatly. Now, they've been built upon by some of the things that happened before 9/11. For example, I was involved in a what they called intelligence cooperative engagement in the Pacific arena with under the Clinton administration. And during that time, we started opening up to India, and I was involved in a very small way in opening up the relationship, the intelligence relationship between the Indian Air Force and the U.S. Air Force. And that was a pretty neat experience because we were, in essence, courting the Indians at a time when they were still working with the Russians. And when I visited New Delhi, it was very evident that the Russians were still there, and they knew that we were there, and made for some interesting moments.
I'm sure it did. The significance of the September, or I'm sorry, May 1st, 2011. Osama bin Laden is identified. The president makes a decision. That decision was decisive. It really did change the world again in many, many ways. Your thoughts on the way the president handled that?
Well, I think, you know, you have to give the president a lot of credit for making the decision and understanding that intelligence is not a perfect art. And the reason I say that is because it was, you know, the odds were about 50-50 that it was Osama bin Laden in that Abbottabad, Pakistan compound. The president could have easily said, you know, those odds are too low, the certainty is too little, I won't go, I won't give the green light to make this happen. But instead what he decided to do was to go in, take the intelligence that that we had from the CIA and from other sources, and go in and say, okay, it's good enough, let's risk it. And it was a very, very risky decision, and you know, you'd have to say it is a gutsy call. And it did change things, because what it showed was that the United States, you know, no matter what the administration was, would go in and go after people that attacked us. And that is a very, very important message to send to nations and what they call non-state actors overseas. And in this particular case, although many people say, well, al-Qaeda has many different leaders, that is true, but he was, Osama bin Laden was, the symbolic head of al-Qaeda. And once you eliminate the head, then it becomes very, very difficult for the rest of the organization to reconstitute itself to the same degree that it was at in the period before 9/11. It was a major, major blow to al-Qaeda and probably the most significant victory in the war on terror.
And Colonel Layden, I think it's probably an obvious question, but I'll ask it. Al-Qaeda is weaker today than it was 11 years ago.
Now, it doesn't mean that they aren't dangerous, but what has happened is that they've had to divide themselves into different areas. Their Pakistani operation and Afghan operation is separate and, quite frankly, on the ropes for all practical purposes compared to what they're doing in Yemen. In Yemen and in the Horn of Africa and then in Western Africa, in the western part of the Sahara region, there are al-Qaeda offshoots that ideologically are similar to the original al-Qaeda, but they are not exactly the same, and they don't always share information with each other. Probably the most dangerous al-Qaeda group right now is the one that's called al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and that is based primarily in Yemen. It has a lot of Saudi Arabian nationals that are part of that organization, and of course we were able to kill their number two in a drone strike that occurred just a few days ago. So those these are the kinds of areas that we have to pay attention to. It's always those areas where there are weak governments, where there are people who are out of work, there are people who are not literate. They form the massive recruits. Now, the leadership is a totally different group of people, but the recruits for al-Qaeda come from those areas that are impoverished and really not well connected to the rest of the world, but they're connected enough to know that the rest of the world has things that they want, and they are resentful of that fact, and that is a fuel for the al-Qaeda ideology.
Well, I hate to sound so simplistic, but oh well. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is, Colonel Layton. I've got to tell you, you've made me feel very good about our progress, and certainly listening to you. The dialogue on this issue, which on a variety of issues, makes me feel much more comfortable that we have, especially from an intelligence gathering standpoint, which is, I think, the critical foundation in all this. It's not that we don't know how to respond. We do. We would like to have to not respond is the point.
Right, exactly. We would like to be able to live in peace, to interact with people all over the world and treat them as friends. But there's a great quote that the Marines use, and it's basically no better friend, no worse enemy. And, while that might be a little bit harsh, the basic idea is this, that, if you treat us well, we will treat you well. And that goes for personal interrelationships as well as things on a, state-to-state basis or people-to-people basis. And, in this particular world, at this particular time, really we are a global society. We belong to different countries, but there's so much interaction. And what al-Qaeda tried to do was try to really interrupt the progress of the world.
Absolutely. And Colonel Layton, I hate to interrupt you, but we are just out of time. I've enjoyed this conversation. We'll reach out to you again, I assure you. Thank you so much for being with us. We've got to take a break for the top of the hour. We'll be back with more after this.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we picked up a new accident on northbound 75 just after 14 mile. It has your left shoulder block with stop and go traffic from 696. Still watching those accidents on 696 eastbound at Coolidge. Has your left lane block with stop and go traffic from Losser. Staying on 696 eastbound at 75. Accident has your left lane block with stop and go traffic from Woodward. And we still got that disabled vehicle that's blocking the left lane on 94 eastbound at Trumbull, and it has stop-and-go traffic from Rotunda. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be sunny and 80 degrees. Tonight, a low of 56. Tomorrow, sunny and 84, and it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony.